Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to continue to talk about the old paths. If you found your place in Jeremiah 6, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we'll read responsively verses 8 through 19. You can read aloud with me on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses, beginning together in verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Take your Bibles, if you would, and as we look here in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 16 of chapter 6, chapter 6 and verse 16. I said chapter 7 because it's just staring at me right there. It says chapter 7. But in chapter 6, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, we've talked about many times in the last several weeks that God has a plan. God has a path for us. God has a design. He has ways. He has definitions. And you know what? God has all of those things, and they are true, they are right, they are perfect, they are constant, they're not ever changing, they just are. And that's okay, and that's good. But can I tell you something? That man has ways too. The devil has ways, this whole world has ways, it has definitions, it has plans, and it has all of those things as well. That's why God said to his people, stand in the ways and see. Folks, we got to open our eyes. We need to be aware of what's going on out there. And then we have to make the right choice. We must choose. What does it say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is all based on God. This is not based on the world or on the devil or on the flesh or anything else. We've got to understand. We cannot lean on these other things. We've got to make the right choice. And the right choice is always God. The ways of God, the book of God, the principles of God, the mind of God, the things of God. These are the definitions that we need to hold to. We have to cast aside human reasoning, worldly philosophy, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We need to turn from those things. If you will, as Paul describes it in the New Testament, we need to mortify this old flesh. We need to put off the old man and put on the new man. This is the old path. These are the old ways. These are God's designs, God's definitions, and all God is saying is, stand in the way and see. He says, choose, ask for them if you need to, find out what is right, what is not, and walk in them. Hearken. Hear the trumpet. You know, you can, Brother Dart plays trumpet, but if Brother Dart were to sound some kind of an alarm, did you know you can hear it and still not do anything about it? You can. That's why he uses that word. He didn't say they didn't hear it. He said they didn't hearken. They didn't respond. And listen, folks, many of you have been in church for most of your lives or as children or as adults. And we hear a whole lot. But how much do we actually hearken to? We need to follow after these things. And then in following them, we need to pass them on from generation to generation. Okay, yeah, I'm following God. I'm gung-ho, but what about my children? What about my grandchildren? What about my great-grandchildren? What about the generations to come? They're supposed to know and be able to follow the old paths as well. So we've got to pass on these things from generation to generation. God wants us, not only us to live this way, but those that come after us as well. And it's our responsibility to be that example. To be that light that shines to the next generation. So, what things are important for us to follow in the old paths? Well, we need to make sure we follow the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures. And you know what? The other paths of this world are out there. There are other paths to follow. The devil is a counterfeiter. That's what he is. Okay? That's a Bible term for the devil. He's a counterfeiter. If God has something, the devil has a counterfeit for it. That's what he does. And that's how he's subtle. And that's how he gets into our lives. That's how he gets into our local churches. The devil is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He has a counterfeit for everything. And can I say to you, he has a counterfeit for the Word of God today. He does. And he's deceiving people. He's getting them off the old paths. And we must stay true to the old paths of the Word of God. We must stay true to the old paths of God. The three in one. The triune God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. We need to stay true to what we know about mankind. The depravity of man, the sinful state of man. Let me just say this to ruffle feathers once again. Man is not inherently good. We're cursed. We're born that way. We know the Bible tells us that because of Adam's sin, that sin was passed down and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is a depraved being. And without a regenerate experience with Jesus Christ, we're lost. We must be born again. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? Yeah. We've got to have that new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians tells us that once we become saved, that old man is passed away. Right? Therefore, if any man be in the church, no. Therefore, if any man be good? No. There, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need to make sure we understand and know the old paths of salvation.
Folks, there's only one way of salvation. It's a narrow path. One of my mentors in life and in Bible college and such had a quote, a statement that said, "An open mind is a cracked skull." Now, I'm narrow-minded about these things. You say, why? Because they're God's definitions. Okay, I'm not defining this. God is. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and..." Yeah. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hey, that's narrow-minded. You say, well, there's many paths to heaven. No, there's not. There's just one. And it's Jesus Christ. We need to know and understand the old paths of salvation. We need to know and understand the old paths of eternal security. And we talked about how that one was difficult. Difficult for people to understand. And remember, someone that does something that doesn't seem to be that they're born again, they may not be. I wasn't arguing that. Just arguing the principles that salvation is of no merit, good or bad, of our own. None. That means if you have salvation, you can't do a certain amount of bad and lose your salvation. That's impossible. Now, would the argument be able to be brought forth that you may never have truly been born again? Yes. But that's not for me to decide. God knows whether or not we've been born again. You know whether or not you've been born again. I'm not the judge of that. I don't have a beeper. I'm not going to go around and accuse you just because the fruits of your life don't show salvation. I'm not going to say you're not saved. But it will lead some to question whether or not you're saved. But that's not up to me. Salvation is forever. The Bible says we have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. He's the one that keeps us saved. We don't keep ourselves saved. We need to remember the old paths of the local church. And once again, folks, how God has designed it. Did you know that us independent Baptist churches aren't the ones that decided who and what we are? Yeah, let me just tell you that. It's not that way. It's because we say this book is what decides who and what we are. And that's how it should be. I don't need some council. I don't need some convention. I don't need some group of people telling me who and what we should be. How about we just let God tell us what He wants us to be? How we should operate, what we should do things by. And again, I'm not going to re-preach the last several weeks' messages. You understand that God says we're supposed to be His people, called by His name. The local church is the body of Christ, born again, baptized believers, according to Scripture. Not according to the will of man, but according to God. God gives a structure of the church that is supposed to be an autonomous, local church, free from any external authority or control. It's supposed to have officers, pastors, and deacons. It's supposed to have ordinances, water baptism, and the Lord's Supper. It's supposed to have a vocation to win the lost, to baptize them, to disciple the believer, and to see them grow to bear more fruit and much fruit. That's the local church. That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, you know what I want to see our local church do? I want to see our local church grow. And then, you know, as I look in this congregation, and I look at the blessings of God, and how God has seen our church grow, you know what else I want to see? I want to see some of you leave. I mean that in a good way. I do. You know why? Aren't we supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature? Where do you think these missionaries come from? Local churches. You say, "Pastor, you really want us to leave?" Well, yes and no. Because you know what? A church that's giving out is a church that's vibrant. It's a church that's alive. I want to see some of you called to go be missionaries somewhere. I want to see some of you called to go to other local works and help out. And maybe some of our young people will grow up and they'll surrender to preach or surrender to the ministry. And Brother Michael is off in Bible college. And you know what? God may choose to send him back here to help here, but he may choose to send him somewhere else. You know what? That's okay. Now, would I like to keep all of you? Sure. But then we might become like a Dead Sea. Who wants to be a Dead Sea church? We'll just name it Dead Sea Baptist Church. No. No, I want to be River of Life Baptist Church. I want to be something that's flowing and giving out and producing. That's how it ought to be, the local church. Now, today, as we talk about another thing that we need to think about in the old paths, we need to get to a place, and I want you to go to Proverbs 22 very quickly. Just back a few books of the Bible from Jeremiah. We'll come back to Jeremiah 6 toward the end here. But look at Proverbs 22 and verse 1. This is something in the old paths that is fading away. And it's we're going to see that it's a device of the devil causing it to do so. Look what it says here. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You see, what possibly could you be talking about today, Pastor, concerning the old paths that we should walk in, that we should hearken to in our lives? And that is the old path of biblical separation. A good name. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you today, you know that you know that you know, if you die today, you go to heaven? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible tells us we're born into the family of God. Okay, now you can raise your hands for this. How many of you have or have had a parent? Specifically two of them, a mother and a father. Go ahead, raise your hand. Every hand should be up, okay? Okay, unless you were, you're an alien or you've been hatched or something like that. Yes. And guess what? You were born into a family. Yeah. And you have a name. A name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Folks, let me tell you something. As a child of the King, and more specifically as a child of the King of Kings, we've got a good name. We've got a good name. And that name means something. And less in our society today, even among Christians, that name has less and less meaning and less value. Why? Why? Is it not a good name? How about anybody ashamed of the name of God? Anybody ashamed of the name Jesus Christ? What does Paul say? For I am not ashamed. He's not ashamed. What does Jesus talk about? That, hey, if we're not going to be willing to confess him before men, oh boy. Does not God's name matter? Okay? You are a representative of God. An ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are a son or a daughter of God. Because of salvation. Let me ask you a question. Shouldn't we represent him well? Shouldn't we? Would it not be part of the old paths to live a life holy and acceptable unto God? Everybody okay with that? Okay, folks, that is happening less and less in our world today. Where are the Christians that are willing to stay on the old path and be ridiculed and persecuted and maligned for Christ's sake? If we were to take all of us and in our lives that we live and put them in a paper bag and shake them up with the rest of the world and throw them out, would anybody be able to tell the difference between you and a lost person? Huh? Oh, I know this is kind of heavy today. But it's okay. It's the old paths. We're supposed to stand in the way and see. Do you know what the devil wants? The devil wants for everything just to kind of come together and all be the same. No difference. No difference between lost and saved. No difference between righteous and unrighteous. No difference between godly and ungodly. We'll just put it all together. It's all across the board. Hey, what's happening today? Anybody can be whatever they want because there's no men, there's no women. Right? There's no race, there's no this, there's no that. There's no rich and there's no poor. Let's just put them all together. It's happening in all areas of life. Political, social, physical. It's happening. What is he trying to do? He's trying to undo everything that God has done. That's what the devil does. And he's doing it so subtly. Because we accept some of that, don't we? Even as Bible-believing Christians, we do. Last I checked, God said there's black and white. There's light and dark. There's good and evil. There's righteous and unrighteous. There's godly and ungodly. There's men and women. Seems like God is a God of absolutes. And the devil is a devil of ambiguity. He just wants everything to be all flowed together. There's no difference between this or that. And God says there's a difference. Hey, when God created this world, how did he create it? Everything after its own kind. What is the devil saying today? Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll just mix it all up and it'll be all be good. We'll just make a smoothie out of it. All blended together. No separations. No boundaries. Let's just all live together in world peace and love. Hey, what are we moving toward? Let me ask you a question. What are we moving toward? One world government? One world everything? Haven't you read your Bible? We're moving that way. And what do you have to do to get there? Remove the boundaries. So what is the doctrine of separation? What is this thing of the old paths of old-fashioned Bible separation? It's boundaries, folks. It's boundaries. And guess who gets to decide the definition of the boundaries? Not the old-fashioned independent Baptist church. Not the old-fashioned fire-breathing independent Baptist preacher. That mean guy that's always yelling at us. No. God gets to decide. These are not my own ideas, folks. This is God's word. God says for us to choose. Did you notice this? A good name is rather to be chosen. We have a choice. Oh, you carry the name of Christ because of him. But can I tell you something? You still get to choose whether you live for him or not. You get to choose whether you live like a Christian or you don't. But can I tell you something? If you choose to live like one, there's a reward. And if you choose not to, there's a penalty. You understand that there's a judgment seat one day? The judgment seat of Christ. And the wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burnt up and it'll be counted as a loss. But that which remains, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, will be a reward. Again, I'm not the one making up these terms. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad and leave this local church. Oh, those Baptists over there, they're just too narrow-minded. No, it's the old paths, folks. The devil is fooling us. He's tricking us. He's seducing us to go down another path, saying, it's okay. It's socially acceptable. Don't swallow that lie. Don't fall for that. It's not acceptable to God. God has not changed. He's not changed His mind. He wants us to be separate. We should live in such a manner as not to bring reproach upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should carefully guard our testimony. We should refrain from all worldly and sinful pleasures. Why? Because Jesus died for us. Because He gave His life for us. So shouldn't we pay Him back? Shouldn't we live in such a way that's pleasing to Him? Doesn't He deserve that? You say, but what about me? I promise you, if you live the way God wants you to live, you will benefit from it. You will. You say, but I want those worldly pleasures. Oh, be careful of that. Because it just doesn't stop at once. It's kind of like Pringles. You can't just eat one Pringle. You end up eating the whole can. Or have you? How many of you have ever opened a bag of pistachios? Yeah, how'd that turn out for you? Yeah, you ate the whole bag, didn't you? Because that's what I do. It's hard to stop at one pistachio. Anybody, who doesn't like pistachios? Oh, too bad. Oh, okay. Well, anyways. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us this. Be ye not, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that sound easy or difficult? It's difficult. It's not easy. And last I checked, this narrow way is not an easy path. These old paths are not an easy path. Oh, they're difficult. It goes against human reasoning. It goes against human philosophy. It goes against all the other things in this world. But it's supposed to. If it were the same path as the others, why would it matter what path you walked? Would it? If it was the same? No big deal, right? We can walk on any path. But God says, no. Hear, Israel. Listen. Be instructed. Ask for the old paths. And they said, we will not walk in them. There are believers today that are seeing the old paths. They're reading the scriptures, but they're saying, no, we're not going to walk in that old path. The world has said it's socially acceptable, so I accept it. You know what? I don't, because God says it's an abomination. We're to be different from the world. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to come out from among them. We're not supposed to touch the unclean thing. Listen, folks, we're sojourners in this world. Let me ask you a question. When somebody that's a sojourner in a different country, do you know that they're a foreigner? Yep. You know, missionaries that go over across the seas, why do they begin to speak the language and follow the customs and the cultures and the dress of those people? Why do they do that? To fit in. To be accepted. Last time I checked, we're not supposed to fit in here. We're supposed to stick out like a sore thumb. When you're walking down the street, someone should know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. They should be able to see it. Until, guess what? Until everybody's a believer in Jesus Christ, then you won't stick out. Now, wouldn't that be grand? It would be. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I don't care if you're popular with the world. I don't care if they like you. I don't care if they want you. I don't care if they give you accolades and applause. You shouldn't care either. You shouldn't want it. You say, what do you mean? Well, Jesus said this. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Don't you understand that the world's not supposed to like you? And if they like you, there's something wrong. You're not walking down the old path. You're not following after God's way. You know, the Bible tells us that we're a peculiar people. Israel was not supposed to succumb to the other nations around her. They were supposed to be the example so that other nations would choose to follow God. Over and over in Scripture, in the Old Testament, we see how Israel forsook the old paths and followed after the world. Time and time again. Can I tell you something? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's happening again. Christians are slipping into the world, being conformed to this world. They're not supposed to be. What does the Bible say after that verse in verse 2 in Romans? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being separate from the world, being separate from sin, being separate and refraining from sinful pleasures is the old path. And can I tell you today, it's a path not well traveled. You know why? Because God's people are bowing up and saying, we will not hearken. Folks, I'm not going to rant and rave over particular things. I think the principle is enough. God says there's a distinction between things. I've already proven to you the devil's trying to mingle it all together. And God says keep it separate. And let me just touch on this for just a second. But you just to prove that little things matter. God says in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, I even have the verse here. I lost it. There it is. Deuteronomy 22. It's in the kind of obscure laws of Scripture. But let me tell you something. It just says a woman's not supposed to wear what a man's wearing, and a man's not supposed to wear what a woman's wearing. You say, oh, there you go. I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to get on that. Those old Baptist preachers, that's what they always do. No, I'm just trying to tell you something very simple. It's a slippery slope. What's it all about? It's all about distinction. What is one of the number one topics, hot topics in our world today? That there is no difference between man and woman. A man can be a woman, and a woman can be a man. Okay, is that God's design? No, it's not. It's the devil's counterfeit. He's trying to draw us off the old paths. And let me just illustrate. When men look like men, is there any question about that?
No.
When women look like women, is there any question about that?
No.
Why are we introducing questions? Why are we introducing our kids to these things where it doesn't matter what you wear when God says it does? That's just one simple topic to talk about. And who are we to say, well, that's not true anymore in today's society? It's okay for women to wear this or this or this. It's okay for men to wear this or this or this. All I'm asking is, why do we get to decide? Why doesn't God get to decide? And why don't we accept it? Why don't we say, God, that's your path. We're just going to walk in it. I don't care what the world says. Because listen to me. Small things matter. Little things draw us into greater things, which draw us into greater things, which draw us into greater things, and which gets us into a mess. But it's not a jump. It's not a leap across a cavern. It's one tiny step at a time that the devil draws us away from the old paths. And we have excuses. We have reasons. We have reasoning. We have philosophical arguments. We have all of that. All to undo what God has done. We need to walk in the old paths. We need some old-fashioned ways of living. Being separate from sin. Being separate from these things. And let me just close on this matter. Being separate from other kinds of churches. You say, Pastor, does it really matter? Oh, yes, it does. Now, there are some churches that believe a lot like us, and we may differ on a few minor things. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those that the Bible describes as preaching another Jesus. I am not afraid to call out certain churches that call themselves Christians that aren't Christians. They're changing the terminology. They're changing what salvation is. And they're saying, well, salvation is by works. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says it's by faith and not by works. So you know what? I'm not going to have anything to do with them. You know what? Your pastor is not part of the Ministers Association here in this community. You know why? I'm not supporting those Yardbirds. I'm not. You say, well, they're good men. Really? So it's okay for them to deceive people and drag them to hell, and I should just be okay with that. I'm not okay with that. It's called ecclesiastical separation. I'm not supposed to have anything to do with them. The Bible says mark them. The Bible says stay away from them.
The Bible says, do not go amongst them. He says, avoid them. He says, these are those, he says, from such turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Jude chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Romans chapter 16. Matthew chapter 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Titus chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Tells us to be careful who we associate with. What they preach, what they teach, he says, avoid them. He says, stay away from them. And even in one of the scriptures, it says, don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't do it. Because they're evil. They're seducers. And they're drawing people away from Christ. He says, from such withdraw thyself. These are the ones we want to avoid. That's why we don't believe in these ecumenical movements. Oh, but they're good. And no, they're not good. You have to discern these things and stay on the old paths. I know this is difficult. I know these sayings are hard, but they're true. And the truth is, God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Does sin have a grip in your life? Has worldly philosophy crept in? Are you starting to drift off of the old path? We need to get back on it when it comes to biblical separation.